The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
ESPN is paralyzed with fear and self-righteousness, and it's delightful to watch. You cannot have morals, ESPN, or principles only when it's convenient. Less than 2 weeks ago, ESPN announced a deal with Barstool Sports to produce a weekly late-night TV show based on Barstool's popular podcast, Pardon My Take. Now, Barstool Sports is an online media company that focuses on sports and entertainment, politics, and news through comedy. And they use crude humor to make fun of everything. And their specialty is blatant sexual content. So the employees at Barstool Sports actually have to sign an agreement that they will not object to, and I'm quoting, offensive speech, including conduct and speech that openly and explicitly relates to sex, as well as race, sexual orientation, gender, national origin, religion, disability, and age, end quote. Now, let's remember that the company that just hired them, ESPN, is the company that fired commentators for saying things like chink in the armor or guerrilla tactics spelled with a U and an E. ESPN is, I think, the chief patient in the asylum of political correctness. And yet they made a deal to produce a show with the least sensitive people in all of sports. Someone didn't think it through. After the first episode aired, ESPN announced that they are canceling Barstool Van Talk Show, citing concerns about content. So let's get this straight. ESPN struck a deal to produce the show they now have concerns about. Okay, that's actually not what happened. Harvey Weinstein happened. ESPN knew what kind of content Barstool produces and what ESPN wanted. It's why they scheduled that show in late night. In fact, ESPN needed it because they're grasping for anything to help stem the tide of viewers running from ESPN and cable. But the ink wasn't even dry. With the contract with Barstool when Harvey Weinstein and his scandal broke out, ESPN didn't suddenly grow a conscience. They got caught making a show with unapologetic sexists, and now they're trying to save face. Wow, I didn't see that one coming. ESPN, it really is delightful to see you struggle. It really is. Many of us are enjoying this. You can't have morals or principles only when it's convenient, because that's not how morals or principles work. You either have them or you don't. And when you try to have it both ways, you're completely inauthentic. People see right through you and they run from you.
Tuesday, October 24th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Now, speaking of being completely inauthentic, have you seen the new ad for CNN? Let's play this.
This is an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana.
Right.
They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
Facts first, CNN. Okay, so CNN, this is a really effective ad, just not for you. I mean, when you are the chief architect of the banana factory, you can't say you're four apples, man. You're the one. Now, let me just show you immediately the parodies were out because everybody thought the same thing. So now there's an ad that looks just like the Apple ad, if you will, for CNN, except it just has the bathroom, international symbol of a man. And this is what it says.
This is a man. Some people might try to tell you it's a woman. They might scream, woman, 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 over and over and over again. They might put woman in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a woman. But it's not. This is a man.
Hello. This thing is going to come and just pull itself like a black hole. It's just going to collapse on itself, and the gravity is just going to suck everything down with it.
Because, I mean, I think the approach would be is delightful, right? I mean, I'd love to get in place. And they're obviously going after Trump and the Alex Jones sort of world, the fake news world that they're calling it. And look, I understand that. And I think that's it's the right approach, especially for somebody like CNN, to be like, hey, you know what? This is an apple. This is the truth. We're just going to give it to you. It's just,
but there's no one with the credibility. No, there's nobody with the credibility to do that.
I mean, they are sometimes. They have some good things, certainly. But like the man woman thing is a great example. There was a quote from some celebrity who's coming out saying, "Hey, you know, I'm gender non-binary," and the quote was, "Look, it was a guy, and he's like, I feel more woman than I do male."
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Well, the word "feel" is an interesting term you just used.
Yeah,
is that what this is?
Feelings aren't facts,
right? Feelings. If what you're telling me is gender is a measure of feeling, then you can be. If that, I mean, I'm not going to accept that definition. But then I at least understand your points, right? Like if you're saying, well, what we mean by gender is we feel this way. Well, you can feel any way you want. That doesn't change what the gender is. You're just redefining the word to mean something else.
There are times I get up and I feel like an elephant. Okay, that doesn't make me an elephant. It just makes me feel like an elephant.
We both kind of look like
elephants.
No,
I know, but not quite as gray. I will not culturally appropriate elephants. You can feel whatever you want. Feelings are not facts. And that is really important for this society to understand. You want to go to the moon? Okay, you need some facts and you need some general mathematics, not Common Core mathematics. It won't get you to the moon because you showed me how you got there. No, you actually need actual arithmetic that is accurate. No matter how you feel, it's accurate. It better be accurate or we all burn up on either liftoff or reentry. We don't make it. Feelings are not facts. And facts are really important. And what's hysterical is these people think that they're the arbiter of truth and facts when they are the ones who have been pushing us on, no, 2 + 2 can be 5 if you can show me your work. No, that's a banana. Not only is this now a woman because she says she's a woman, but she's a beautiful woman, and you must admit that she's a beautiful woman. No. She's a dude. She hasn't had the plumbing fixed, and even that, the chromosomes don't change, but I understand what you're saying. She's a dude, and she's an ugly dude. Now, I'm sure there are guys who feel like a woman and could be a beautiful woman. That isn't one of them. That's a fact.
Or it's at least an opinion, but it's an honest one.
Yes.
At least. I mean, that's all you really want, right?
That's the problem. We are all about feelings. We're not about facts. And opinions are not honest. They're not honest. Everybody you see with their opinion It's not an honest opinion. I mean, for instance, we have later on in the program, we'll see if we can do this. Can you find campus reform taxes, please? This is college students being approached and saying, this is Bernie Sanders and his tax plan. And listen to what they say.
What were your thoughts on Trump's tax plan when you saw it?
It's better for the upper class than anyone else.
Pretty much a horrible for the middle class, especially the lower class.
I mean, not ideal.
It's probably not the most efficient nor beneficial to the general populace.
Bernie Sanders came out with his plan. Some people call it the compassionate alternative. So we're getting opinions on Bernie's plan. First, one of Bernie Sanders' plans is to enhance the child tax credit, which is tax money given back to families when they have children.
Plan.
What do you think of that? Positive or negative?
Positive.
All right.
Same. I was a social worker, so I understand how important tax credits like that are.
Next up, eliminating the death tax. So when people die, it's a large tax on their estate that goes to their family. What do you think of that?
I think that's definitely something that we should be doing.
Bernie is planning to lower the small business tax rate to a maximum of 25%. I think that's a positive or negative?
I definitely think that's a positive. I feel very positively toward that.
My family has a small business, so I would definitely think that's a positive thing.
All of these are actually Trump's ideas. This is actually Trump's plan.
What? Wow. I am shocked that I do agree with Trump on certain things.
I think if you said it was Trump, at least for many people, it would be more opposition to it just because it
yes.
was Trump.
I definitely think there's an initial bias. I mean, I've done it myself. Like, I'll just, like, hear the word Trump, and I'm like, ugh. I definitely think that's something to, like, need to be, like, looked over.
So, in other words, what needs to be said here is you can say it's a banana, but it's an apple. The Equifax breach impacted roughly 143 million consumers, and it just got bigger. They've now added 2.5 million people to that list. And if that's not bad enough, Yahoo announced that their 2013 breach impacted all 3 billion user accounts. That's triple the original estimate. So once your personal information is gone and been exposed, it doesn't just go away. Identity thieves use that information on the dark web for months. You know, a lot of people don't even know what the dark web is, but it's a place where, if I was to be kind, people who like to keep things private do all of their business on the dark web. Some of those people might be killers and robbers and thieves and drug users and drug lords and pimps, but other than that,
and then there's people like you just making sure everything's going,
making sure everything's okay. Yeah. Anyway, now is the time to get protection. Sign up today at LifeLock. You don't know if your information is being sold until it's too late. Now, LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect a wide range of identity theft, and if there is a problem, an identity restoration specialist that's based here in the U.S. is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft. Nobody can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but they are the best at tracking this stuff down and making it go away. So go to LifeLock.com. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. Get 10% off your LifeLock membership. Again, the address is LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck. Save 10%. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, Red Book asked the question, maybe you shouldn't dress your kid up as Moana this Halloween.
Finally, somebody said it. Finally.
Finally. It's mid-October, which means Halloween is 2 weeks away, which means it's past time to decide on a Halloween costume for your kid. Chances are you have a child enamored with all things Disney and wants to be all of the princesses, all of them, especially Moana. No, don't do it.
Because I know my daughter, who is, Very young, but loves Moana. Mm-hmm. I think she would love to be Moana for Halloween.
No, she's got to be a white princess. Well, no, she can't be a white princess because that shows her white privilege. But she cannot be a Polynesian princess.
She can't be?
No, she cannot be.
But why? I mean,
cultural appropriation.
Well, Moana is a fictional character.
No, it's based. It was Disney. It points out in the article that Disney came under fire for this, and they pulled the costume. So you'll have to make your own. The team behind Moana has taken great care to respect the cultures of the Pacific Islands that inspired the film, and we regret that the Maui costume has offended some. So you can't. You can't be Moana.
But I mean, Maui's a big character in that movie.
No,
it would make a lot of sense for a young.
No.
It's
no.
The Rock. I mean, The Rock is obviously.
I think The Rock is. I think we have enough to say about The Rock. Okay, first of all, he's not a rock.
Well, no, he's not.
Okay, and he's a white guy. He's white. I mean, he's successful enough, white.
I mean, he grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean he lives a life of white privilege.
There's only white people in Connecticut.
Well.
That's a scientific fact.
Sure. So Red Book, Sachi Ferris discusses how her white daughter was torn between dressing as Elsa from Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
And Moana.
Those are two good choices.
No, they're not. Ferris expresses concern that while Elsa is a costume that might reinforce the notion, I hate that word, the notion of white privilege.
I hate the word notion.
I do.
Obama ruined it for you, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, there are stores that I used to hate that my mother would always take me, she'd always have to go into the fabric store and get, fabric and notions. And I don't know what the hell I did. What is the hell is a notion? What is that? And now Barack Obama with this notion, I can't take it. Anyway, so the Elsa costume might reinforce notions of white privilege, and dressing up as Moana is cultural appropriation. So what's a mother to do? Now, wasn't the idea that we needed more Disney princesses? We needed black princesses and Asian princesses and Hispanic princess. We needed princesses of all colors. And now you can't let your kids dress as any of those other princesses unless you are from that culture, which isn't helping. And if you are white, you cannot let your child dress as Snow White. She was part of the the rich European ruling class that kept people either serfs or smurfs. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So you can't. So we were politically correct. We were not politically correct enough. So we were shamed into creating princesses.
Oh my gosh!
That were
you
not.
Have you read this article? Because you're practically at this point. You might be saying things like, "But I dressed up as Jasmine as a child, and I'm not a racist."
That's exactly because I dressed up as Jasmine as a child, and right. I'm not racist.
Right.
So that was exactly what I was going to say.
Right. But one of the best things about time, Stu, is I'm quoting Red Book, is that it moves forward, and you should too.
Oh, I'm being condescended. This is a condescension from Red Book.
If the shoe fits. You can. That's a racist comment, by the way.
The shoe?
Yeah, the shoe fits. It's like the empty barrel thing.
Okay.
You can and should strive to be better than you were 10, 20, or 30 years ago. If you missed the mark when you were younger, maybe you should think about using this Halloween as an opportunity to teach your kids about the importance of cultural sensitivity. If your child's dream costume feels questionable, no. I don't think any of the costumes have ever felt questionable. Well, except for like the naughty night nurse with the midnight injections.
Guarantee that one is, you could find 20 articles in Red Book defending that.
Yes.
This is.
Yes.
And you miss the boat as a child. I mean, that's the whole point. Is
you
can't
don't
miss
have
the...
a right to comment on this.
Okay.
If your child's dream costume feels questionable, just don't throw up your hands and hand over your credit card. You're the parent here, and the onus of what your child wears falls on you. If you were a kid who wore a racist costume, or your kid now wears a racist costume, remember, you're kind of wearing it this Halloween, too.
I hope the earth crashes into the sun.
I will tell
you. That's what I want.
I do too, but I am going out. I'm going Halloween as Moana's grandmother.
Are you sure not? Not Maui?
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is an apple. Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
Facts first, CNN. It doesn't work for CNN. It just doesn't work. And let me explain to CNN why it doesn't work. Let me give you this story from Redbook. The story from Redbook: don't dress your kids up as Mona this Halloween, because the character from Moana. Mm-hmm. If your child dresses up in an Elsa costume and they're white, it will reinforce notions of white privilege. But dressing up as Moana is cultural appropriation, reducing someone's culture to stereotypes and therefore belittling it. If you think that, you know, a 4-year-old girl is dressing up as Moana and that is a cultural appropriation and she is belittling that, or dressing up as Elsa is her reveling in her white privilege, banana, banana, banana. That's a banana. If my daughter wants to dress up as Moana, it's because she likes and respects Moana. That is what I like to call an apple. This is why this ad does not work for CNN. The day that CNN can say this cultural appropriation with our kids, our little kids on Halloween is a banana, is the day that ad will work. But until then, nope, not a chance. Let me go to Chris in Pennsylvania. Hello, Chris. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Glenn, I got to bust out the duct tape. I mean, I know you used to talk about that and wrapping your head before it explodes.
Yeah.
I'm just about there. Hey, you know, out of one side of their mouth, you know, I understand if I like to wear a pink shirt, if I'm more sensitive than other people, if I like to watch the Lifetime channel, that might mean I feel like a woman. Maybe I'm a woman. But then on the other side of their mouth, they say that ascribing colors to a gender and saying that a girl has to wear pink, and if she wears pink, it's wrong. I'm just so confused. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to feel a certain gender way or not a certain gender way.
See, here's what's amazing. You can, again, if I may translate for CNN, banana, banana, banana. Some people can feel like a woman. Some people can feel and identify as a black woman, and they're not. And yet, at the same time, how dare you say you can even relate to the black or female experience? Well, which one is it? Mm-hmm. Is it apples or bananas?
I will say too.
If my son likes to dress up as The Rock, then it might be cultural appropriation. If we tell him, no, don't you dare do it, then we're discounting The Rock's culture and we're racist, because now all of a sudden we're ignoring his cultural background. Either way, I'm a white supremacist. So
it's so bizarre, because we're not supposed to. They keep telling
Chris.
Us we're not supposed to care about these differences. We're all one. We're all supposed to be the same. Yet at the same time.
Okay, that's Apple.
Right,
that's an apple.
That's an apple. Okay.
Okay.
At the same time, we're not allowed to appropriate other people's cultures, and enjoy them. I mean, they say this about music. They say this about food. Mm-hmm. You know, they say this about all of these different things that express culture. It's a way that you enjoy and you actually become more familiar with different things. And mm-hmm. and maybe you wind mm-hmm. up, society winds up accepting different.
Well, you see, so here's the reason why they have to keep telling us banana for cultural appropriation. Yeah. Because this only works if we are divided. So it doesn't work. You know, the idea of, hey, should we have princesses that are different colors of, you know, from different parts of the world? Sure. And nobody has a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like, you know what? That princess, I think she's Arabic. And yeah. So?
No one cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But because nobody cares, you have to come up with something else. So now you have to say, oh, no, wait. You can't like that too much. You can't adopt any of that because that's cultural appropriation. That is putting a fence around all of us to make sure that we can't talk to each other. We can't relate to each other. We can't like something too much. Well, wait. I really like the blues. I don't think I really am qualified to like the blues.
Everybody's qualified to like the
blues. No, I don't think so.
No, it's true.
No. Banana.
Yeah. And by the way, I will say, I am offended at the idea that someone would bring up Lifetime in a negative way this close to Fa La 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 Lifetime, the collection of dozens of wonderful Christmas movies that will be airing very soon. On Lifetime and Hallmark Channel.
Well, what I would like to know is how many of the people at Lifetime actually believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
There's very little Jesus happening.
There's very little Jesus
in the Lifetime movies.
But it's cultural appropriation. You're taking the culture of Christians. Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're
there
right.
I said it.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yes.
Finally, we get to be offended about something.
No, you don't have the right to be. You have the right to remain silent.
Oh, good.
And anything you say can and will be used against you. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
You know, Disney, it seems to be guilty of hypocrisy, believe it or not.
What?
It's true. On Broadway, they just started Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And in the casting of the hero of Frozen, the guy who winds up marrying one of the two girls, I can't remember the names, but one of the guys, he's a black guy. So this is, it's absolutely, you know, it's really bad casting in my opinion, but nobody's in an outrage about it.
Wait, why is it
playing?
So, you're talking about the dude on the horse in that movie?
The dude with the horse.
Yeah.
He's a black guy.
He's a white guy in the movie.
Wasn't he Sven? No,
yeah,
or was that the
Hans or something?
So
a Swedish black guy might stand out a bit.
How dare you say
right.
that? How dare you?
Especially because it's set maybe 200 years ago or whatever,
right.
1850s.
Right, right.
And it's a black guy. You know, I don't know if he's got talking, you know, with modern language or if he's got a. I'm not sure the diction of the guy. But it just seems crazy that Disney would allow that to happen for a black guy to be Schwen Hans.
Well, no, no. But you can go that way. It's not inappropriate for anyone to play a white person. It is inappropriate for any white person to play any other role other than a white person. That's the problem, James in Texas. Hello, James.
Hello, Glenn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Glenn, how you doing?
Good.
So my son and I drive him to school every morning, and he's been listening to your show for about 4 years now, and he actually had a pretty good comeback as we're listening to your Moana story. He goes, Dad, I want to dress up as Moana. And I was like, what? I looked at him. He goes, yeah, because I self-identify as a Polynesian girl, and we're white and Mexican.
You're teaching your kids well.
Yes. You're white and you're Mexican.
Yeah, he's white, and I'm white. My wife's Mexican. We live here in El Paso. So somebody says, yeah, I'm going to dress up as Moana. And I looked at him kind of funny, because he's 12, you know, and then he goes, yeah, because I got it figured out. I can do it because I self-identify as a Polynesian girl.
This kid's going to be running circles around you, man. You are in trouble.
Let me tell you something, James. You tell him that his white Polynesian grandmother named Glenn is just up the street in Dallas. Apple. This is an apple. If you travel for business, you know that it is a game of wins and losses. Opening the overhead bin and finding room for your carry-on, that's a win. Missing your wake-up call, that's a loss. Buying your next business trip on Upside.com, that's a huge win. Have you used it yet? If you travel for business, this is the best thing for your employer, for you, and it's the best way to get a deal on the flight, the hotel, and the rental cars. Now, and here's why. Upside bundles everything together, the hotel and the airfare and the rental car. So the more things that you use, the more choices that you have, and you say, I want to leave at this time. Hey, can you leave an hour early? Yes, and I want to stay at this hotel because, you know, it's where my meeting is. That's great. That'll cost you this. If you stay a block away, we can get it for this deal. So you make the choices, and it happens lightning fast. And every choice that you make not only saves your company money, but it gives you now a gift card to places like Amazon every time you buy a business trip. They have amazing six-star treatment from their customer service specialists. They call them navigators. They will help you every step of the way. And you're guaranteed to get a $100 gift card from Amazon the very first time that you book your travel, your next business trip. So visit Upside.com. Use the promo code Beck. That's what will get you the minimum $100 gift card to Amazon. Promo code Beck, minimum of $100. You're going to have your next business trip be booked quickly, easily. It will be done right, and you're going to save a lot of money for your companies and also have some spending money on Amazon.com, Upside.com, Upside.com, because you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. It's Upside.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So glad you've joined us, especially in Los Angeles. Hello to our new affiliate and new position, Mornings on KEIB. We are so glad that you joined us every morning in Los Angeles. Thanks, KEIB. Good morning, Los Angeles. We're glad you're here. Lots to talk to you about. Let's go to the phone. John in Connecticut. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
I'll be very brief. Talking about the Moana costume thing.
Yeah.
I've asked many, many people, define what white is, or any, you know, black or brown or whatever. Define that for me, and then I'll be happy to conform to whatever rules you want me to do. But I don't know what white is in this case.
White is something that you should be ashamed of, mm-hmm. or an alternate definition is something bad.
Yeah, something you should be disappointed in. If you look in the mirror and you see white, you should feel disappointment.
Yeah, especially if you're a white boy. Mm-hmm. White boys just, you got nothing.
But it's the same tactic, right? It's like an apple is an apple, a banana is a banana, right? White is white, brown is brown. That's okay. But when you have this culture that can't define these basic things, how can you? He's right. Like, we had a guy who just called up the other day. You know, he's like, my son is white and Mexican. I think a lot of people would say, well, wait a minute, Mexican, that's Hispanic, that's different than white. Well, no, you could be white and Hispanic. Why not? And it's like
we found that out.
It was Trayvon Martin, right?
That's right.
Whenever a white Hispanic person does anything wrong, we definitely always find out that they're white and Hispanic and not just Hispanic.
Correct.
When they're voting for somebody, it's always they're just Hispanic voters. But when they do something wrong, they're definitely white Hispanics.
Let's go to Cody. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Glenn. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I got a quick point. I want to know how much trouble I would get in to have my three-year-old white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed son dress up as a cowboy and chase around my five-year-old daughter, who is white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, dressed up as an Indian princess.
Lots. Mm-hmm. Well, where do you live? Where do you live?
I live in Utah.
So some.
Yeah, because in Utah, it's only 3 to 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
If you go to California, you're going to get 10 to 20.
Yeah, but you do have the NSA there, so they're monitoring this call now.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah, yeah. Cody, thank you so much for your phone call. It's really crazy. Then and I can't, this Halloween thing. I mean, who was it? Was it the University of Nebraska that had to have a practice Halloween last week? They really did. They had to have a practice Halloween so people could. It was in Indiana, so people could. Oh my gosh! I'm sorry. I just thought of Indiana. It's got Indian in the name. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Of course they need it. They've got Indian in their name. They weren't Indians. They were Native Americans. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, they needed a dress rehearsal so they could tell people, no, you can't do that. I don't know, dude. I've been doing Halloween since I was a little kid. I mean, I think we're okay. I think we're okay. Nobody ever got hurt on Halloween.
We're okay with people dressing up as bloody mass murderers on Halloween, but we can't dress up as Moana. We can't dress up as we can't dress our daughters up as a princess that has a slightly different skin tone. But hey, if you want to dress them up like someone who slashes the throats of teenagers at sleepaway camp, it's totally fine. We are such a freaking weird group of people these days.
Well, is your child white?
My child is. I, you know what? I don't know what the definition of white is, Glenn. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the definition of white is. I do. Your child is white. And I'm sorry, what color was Jason?
Voorhees?
Yeah.
I mean, I think white. The parents were white.
Mm-hmm. Voorhees. That's definitely a white name.
It's definitely a white name. You can tell.
Definitely a white name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wouldn't be cultural appropriation. It's just showing white people as they really are.
Murderers.
Just murderers.
That's right. They'd probably be fine with that logic.
They would. That is their logic.
Glenn Beck.
I'm looking ahead at my Blue Apron menu, and I'm incredibly excited about the broccoli and cheddar turnovers that are coming up. And you might say, well, that sounds great. Or you might say, that's not really my thing. You might say, I want the seared steak and mashed potato or the marinated chicken tenders that are coming up as well. Homemade, delicious meals. That's the great thing about Blue Apron is you can customize this however you eat. We were just talking about how people here, and my wife is on keto, and you know, people have so many different preferences on how they eat. That's what's great about Blue Apron. You can customize this. You can pull individual meals that you might not prefer out and put in different ones. And the way this works is they send all the ingredients right to your house. And you have these delicious meals you can make at home in less than 45 minutes. And they're incredible recipes. A lot of ingredients you might not use on a regular basis. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. blueapron.com/stew. It's Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
The threat from Russia is real, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump. Before it was sexy to talk about collusion or interference in the elections of our campaigns, our old friends, the Russians, had their sights set on something huge. Putin was pulling out all of the stops to find out what the new Russia reset was going to look like. Russian espionage measures included everything from legal lobbying efforts to deploying the American-style deep cover sleeper agents. If you think that this isn't happening, you are part of the problem. What if I were to tell you that a wealthy American family with aspirations for the Oval Office had been targeted by Russian intelligence? Not only were they targeted, but high-ranking members of their staff were actively being infiltrated. They even took what looked to be bribes from the Kremlin connected to banks in Moscow. Why did it look like a bribe? Because it affected U.S. policy towards Russia. You tell that story to anyone here in the United States, and they'll think that you're talking about Donald Trump. All of the above happened in 2009 and 2010 in a Russian plan to infiltrate Bill and Hillary Clinton. An FBI counterintelligence investigation revealed that the Russians were using American companies to gain access to high-ranking people close to Hillary Clinton. They also revealed that Kremlin-connected money given to Bill came suspiciously close to meetings with Hillary that she had in Moscow regarding several issues that Moscow had an interest in. The Uranium One scandal was just one of them, and that is a huge item. The Clinton case and the Trump case are so much alike, but the latter has gotten all of the media attention. The truth is this: the Russians are targeting America. They have been targeting us for a long time. If you ran for president, they would be targeting you. Not only is this threat real, it's getting worse. And it's not about Donald Trump. It wasn't about the Clintons. We are the ones. We are the ones that have made this a partisan issue, not the Russians. The United States is under attack, and we better start acting like it.
Tuesday, October 24th, you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to ask you what matters most. What is going to keep our country and our children safe? When you're gone, what does the world look like for your kids? What should we be paying attention to today? This is my job. My job is to help you navigate the world. My job is to try to make your day a little bit easier, make things easier to understand, and to show you what could be, not just what is. We have gotten lost, really, truly lost, over the last few years. We've lost touch with each other. We've lost touch with who we really are and who we want to be. We no longer know where we've been, so we certainly can't tell anyone, including ourselves, where we're headed. So many of us get up every day and we're just trying to keep our head above water. This is happening because we don't know what matters most anymore. So what matters most? What are you going to do today that makes a difference? Let me go back to the Russian thing. What matters most? not partisan politics. It doesn't. This isn't about Donald Trump, and this isn't about Hillary Clinton. This is about the United States is under attack by the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, by Russia. We are under attack, and they are trying to divide us. They are trying to fill us with disinformation. They are taking both sides of every divisive issue, and we have that now in facts. They are funding Black Lives Matter, and they are funding racist white supremacists. Now, why would they do that? Because their ideology is to destroy us. And what are we doing? We're bickering. And we're bickering over things that don't really matter. We're bickering over people who don't have our best interest at heart. I'm sorry, but the DNC does not care about you, and the DNC and the RNC doesn't care about you. They don't. They care about getting their people elected. And they have found that the best way to do that is to vilify the other side and raise money to stop that target. Whatever connects, whatever target connects with people, they're going to stand in the way to stop that evil. And that's why you need to vote for them, and that's why you need to give them money. But by doing so, we have stopped looking at what the real story and the real threat actually is. Here's Russia spending millions of dollars and sending spies over to infiltrate the highest levels of our government. Some of them have been arrested. Some of them have been sent back home to Mother Russia. And nobody seems to care. The Russians gained access and got 20% of the uranium in America. 20% of our uranium. That's highly coveted and something we do not want to hand over to the Russians. And we did. Does that matter? Last hour, I asked you, what are your kids dressing up as Halloween? Now, I've done radio for 40 years, and every single year for probably 20 of those broadcast years, I would get on the radio, what are your kids going as Halloween? What's the Halloween going? The best Halloween costume? Because it was meaningless. It was frivolous. It was fun and relatable. That's not the case now. Last hour, I gave you a story out of Red Book. Now, I don't know Red Book. I've never read Book Magazine. I've never read Red Book Magazine. I think my mother used to read Red Book, so I associate it with, moms. But they're worried about what your kid is going to wear for a costume. And God forbid that your child is going to dress up as Moana, because that's cultural appropriation. But also, if your child is white, God forbid they dress up as Elsa, because that reinforces the notion of white privilege. Does that really matter? Is this with all the things that are happening on Earth? Well, yes. Yes, because we're protecting these cultures and we're protecting these people and we're teaching our young girls. What? What are we teaching our young girls? I'm going to show you this on TV tonight. This is a bill of sale that I have in my hand right now. We paid dearly for. What it says is the Islamic State Office of the Lawyer Legal Court of Mosul, proof of ownership. It has been the object of a contract of marriage on Tuesday. The owner for brother Abu al-Zubair to the captivity of Najma Siad Smile, age 20 years old, honey-colored eyes, thin, short, height is 130 centimeters, dated on the 12th of blank in the Islamic year of 1437. Her fingerprints, the original owner, Abu Manim, the buyer is the brother, I'm the notary, and I declare that the brother Abu and his brother About came to me. They agreed to sell her, sold to his ownership, to the brother for the amount of $1,500. Do you know what this is? Do you realize what this is? This is for a 20-year-old Christian girl who was taken by ISIS and sold into slavery. That's what this is. And while we've been arguing about cultural appropriation, while we have been arguing about, oh, these statues hurt my feelings so much, while we've been talking about actually standing up for women, the world isn't standing up for women. There are more slaves today than in the entire 400 years of Western slave trade combined. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. That's an outrageous stat. That cannot be true. If I said to you that the slave trade is happening today and women and girls are step up to a stage in a market and their teeth are checked and a bill of sale at an auction is given, you would say that's not happening. It is. The reason why I say this cost us a lot, it almost cost some people their lives. Because you cared. Because you gave to the Nazarene Fund. A few weeks ago, Mercury One operatives went in, found her, and freed her. This was her bill of sale. We didn't buy her. We freed her. We set her free. Because you didn't care about a stupid Disney cartoon character. You cared about a living, breathing 20-year-old who is being raped 10 times a day. Because you know what matters most. The grand scheme of things? Let's see. I get to the end of the life and I'm at the deathbed and I'm like, yes, and I didn't let my daughter dress as Moana. Or I was part of something that freed slaves. I did everything in my power to wake people up to the slavery that is happening today. And I freed Christian and Yazidi slaves. one of those people on that deathbed, somebody in the room will say, they always had a sense of what mattered most. You don't need to tell me what matters most. You already know almost everything you hear on TV is bullcrap. Almost everything you read on the internet that makes you angry is bullcrap. It's not what matters most. It's what gets you angry to divide us for power or for money. What do you say? We already know what matters most. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work.
You can help out going to the Nazarene Fund at mercury1.org. The amount of incredible good that this audience has done and that part of the world is
remarkable.
It is remarkable.
Remarkable.
And coming up, we're going to get your kids' Halloween costumes.
That's right.
Want to know exactly what your kids are wearing this Halloween.
It's got a pumpkin fun. Anyone paying attention knows now is the time to prepare. Saying the world is unpredictable is putting it mildly, and none of us have guarantees on what tomorrow is going to bring. And so the best you can do is become prepared, because you don't rise to the level of your heart's desire. You rise to the level of your preparedness and knowledge. It's never too late to start a plan. Ensure that feeding your family never becomes something that you are dependent on the government or somebody else or FEMA, God forbid. Having food storage for emergency situations means that you are going to be a leader. And my Patriot Supply gets that and is the solution. They're 102 serving survival food kit is at a special price this week of less than a dollar per serving. That's $800-271-63, and you are well on your way of being prepared. You can also order online at preparewithglenn.com. It's dependable emergency food storage, less than a dollar per meal, 102 servings, breakfast, lunch, and dinners. Available now at the website preparewithglenn.com, preparewithglenn.com, or call 1-800-200-7163, 800-200-7163, preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, yes, it is more important to care about people who are enslaved in the Middle East than it is Halloween costumes.
Yes, it is. Yes,
but we have to also be able to enjoy our lives and enjoy our children's lives.
Here's the thing. I think by getting up every day and looking at things and going, what matters most? For instance, Donald Trump is tweeting this morning about Bob Corker again. Does that matter? Does it really?
It doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to me. Not going to affect me at all. I'm not even going to read it. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. So with the world on fire, we have to be able to look and say, that story doesn't affect me. For instance, last night on TV, we did I called it a sanity segment, where it just tried to explain what parts of the story of the phone call to the Gold Star mother actually matters. We've been doing this now for 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
We're arguing back and forth. It's still going on. What part of that matters? I boiled it down to two things. What really happened in Niger? That we have to know. And today on television, we're going to show you not what Rachel Maddow says. She's gone full-fledged tinfoil hats, and I have the tinfoil hat to prove it, and I'll show you tonight. We have to know what happened in Niger, and you have to decide what the president said. Was it hurtful? Was it intentionally hurtful? The answer is no. Okay, move on with your life. Let them just do the circus.
Glenn Beck.
Thank you.
Glenn Beck Program.
So, earlier, Donald Trump came out and said he is going to open up the JFK files, which I think is great. I have not heard from Rafael Cruz. I believe he's either in Canada by now or maybe Argentina, eluding police, because once those files come out that show that he clearly was involved with the assassination, I think then you'll know. But they're going to release these files, which I think is fantastic and wildly interesting for no reason other than fun. Gerald Posner is a friend and an author, Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK. I have been good friends with one of his good friends for a very, very long time. And so when this story came up, I immediately thought, what does Gerald think is in these files? Welcome to the program, Gerald Posner.
Glenn, great to be on with you. As a matter of fact, our mutual friend Michael Pelka said the other day in a tweet that this coming Thursday, the day for the JFK files release, is Christmas for all JFK researchers. And I had never thought about it that way before, but I think he's absolutely right. President Trump's giving us all, those of us who have followed this case, a gift. The gift is every word in every document that the CIA and everybody fought for so many years to keep sealed.
So did you think that this would come through this early? Because I thought it was like 2025 or after the next generation had died or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's what Oliver Stone kept telling us. You know, in his film, he's got Kevin Costner addressing the jury saying 75 years, your taxpayer money, they're keeping these things sealed from you. And so people never thought we'd see it in our lifetime. But here we are. They passed this law back in 92 in response to Stone's film to say, let's get the files out. They put a 25-year limit on it to force these agencies to take a quarter century to get their act together, and said whoever is president on October 26, 2017, that's the person who will have the final say if the FBI, the CIA, or anybody else still says we want to hold on to these because there's an identifiable harm to national security, law enforcement, foreign relations. They'll appeal to the president. The president gets the right to say yay or nay. Does the harm outweigh the public good? And they could never have imagined, I assure you, as you know, 25 years ago, you took a poll of their top 1,000 people they thought would be president. They never thought it would be Donald Trump.
No, and running against the guy whose dad was co-assassin.
So, I mean, and right. So Trump raises the assassination in the campaign.
Right.
Now he's sitting as the president. And the interesting thing is, I think that we will only get these files if they really come out Thursday, if they don't come in the last minute and convince them to hold back a few, because it is Trump. If this had been Obama, even Bush the Younger, Clinton, they were sort of system people who followed the rules of freedom of information. They would have listened to the agency saying, you know, can't disclose this name because it's going to embarrass somebody in Mexico, help the CIA. When Trump tweeted on Saturday that these files are coming out, it was a great sigh of relief. I think he's the only person who's president since Kennedy who would have actually released them all.
So what do you think is in there? For the average person, I mean, I don't care if there's somebody in Mexico that, you know, the CIA wants to protect that I've never heard of. What's in there that we would care about?
Okay, so the first thing is there a blockbuster, to use a bad term for the Kennedy assassination? Is there a smoking gun? Is there some document that shows J. Edgar Hoover handwriting the escape route for Oswald or that? No. The reason I say that adamantly or so with such confidence is, and you get this completely, if there had been a massive plot at the highest government levels, the last place you're going to find evidence of it is 25 years later in the National Archives.
Right. What's his name? Sandy Berger took those out in his underpants long ago.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just fantastic to think they pulled off the perfect crime in Dallas 54 years ago, but somebody who was responsible for burning the documents forgot and left them in the National Archives.
Right, right.
So we're not going to get that, but what we will find, I think, that it will be of interest, is Oswald visited Mexico City only 7 weeks before the assassination, and not just as a tourist to have, stop by and have some Mexican food. He visited to get to Cuba because he was convinced that was where the real revolution was taking place. He was sick of America, sick of Russia, where he had defected. And he went to the Soviet mission twice, pulled out a gun. They threw him out at one point. They thought he was a little odd, to say the least. And he went to the Cuban mission. Now, Mexico City was a nest of spies. This was the Cold War, 63. We'd had the missile standoff just the year before. So the CIA was spying heavily on the Cuban and Soviet missions. What did they learn about Oswald? Castro later boasted to somebody for the American Communist Party that Oswald had said he was going to kill Kennedy. True? I don't know, but it might be in the files. So I do think we will find out what the CIA had learned about Oswald in Mexico City, and then what they didn't share with anybody else, their typical MO.
Gerald, it's been years since I've seen your book. Your theory on Oswald was what?
My theory on Oswald is that he is the only shooter at Dealey Plaza that day who hits anybody. So if you had five other shooters, the forensics show that the only place that Kennedy got hit was from behind. I'm convinced that that's Oswald. The tougher question, Glenn, is always, did he do it for himself, or did he do it for a part of a larger conspiracy?
Okay, so wait a minute. I want to make sure I understand the first part first. You said he's the only one that fired a shot that hit somebody. So are you saying, I don't know if there was anybody there, but there was, it didn't matter?
That's right. It didn't matter. That's exactly right. So when I say Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, that's what the evidence shows to me.
He was the only shooter there.
That's right.
Okay.
And, you know, people say, they always say, oh, I saw somebody in the grassy knoll, and I go through all of that, or I saw somebody in the Altex building or underneath the sewer, as Garrison, the New Orleans district attorney, thought there were sewer shooters until he went to Dallas and found out the sewer area was too small to fit somebody under the manhole cover. In the beginning, the country has never believed under 50% that it was a conspiracy, meaning that even within a year of the assassination, within months of the assassination, the Gallup took a poll, and I think 60% thought it was a conspiracy. It dropped to 50 at one point after the Warren Commission, and then started to head up. It was at 90-95% thought it was a conspiracy after the Stone film. And the last poll done in 2013 showed two-thirds of the American public still thought it was a conspiracy.
So we're alone, because I don't think it was a conspiracy. Do you?
No. I don't, but I do, Glenn, and I think you get this, why people believe it was two major factors. First, it's the first modern American assassination with a rifle from a long distance. So people immediately conjure up Day of the Jackal, spy novels. Mm-hmm. We're used to somebody running up with a pistol, shooting you at the site, like with Wallace, or later with Trump, you get tackled. You know who the shooter is, at least. So you have a rifle assassination. The shooter gets away in the immediate aftermath. Then they pick him up. He's a 24-year-old kid who's been to Russia trying to get to Cuba. He took a pot shot at General Walker, this right-wing general who's running for the governorship of Texas. And he's killed 2 days later by a guy out of Central Casting, a Dallas nightclub owner, Jack Ruby, who's got potential ties to the mob. You've guaranteed you're never going to end the conspiracy theorizing on it.
And do you expect to find anything in this about the mob?
Yes, I do. There is, a matter of fact, a file that's being held about an attorney for Carlos Marcello, who was the godfather of New Orleans. Many people think the mob was involved. Think that Marcello was kicked out of the country by Bobby Kennedy. He certainly wanted Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy dead, no doubt. I just think that Oswald beat the mob to Kennedy, essentially. They would have patted him on the back and given him a medal, but he just wasn't their boy. And that attorney's file will be interesting. You know this so well. The mob and the CIA were partners in the early 60s,
yes,
trying to kill a head of state.
Yes.
But it was Castro. It wasn't Kennedy. And they couldn't even wound Castro. They wanted him out. I mean, we didn't want a communist 90 miles from the American shores, and the mob wanted their casinos back. Seven times they try to get him. The poison, the swimsuit, the exploding cigar, they can't pull it off. And how these Keystone cops who couldn't get rid of Castro supposedly pulled off the perfect crime in Dallas. I have my doubts.
So these come out on Thursday. Gerald, can we have you back on Friday after you've looked at all of them and tell us what you found?
Now, there could be, Glenn, I would love that, that they believe that although there are 3,100 files, it could add up to several hundred thousand pages. But not only am I a speed reader, but I will be able to go through these files and look for the names that I know are key. So on Friday, I will give you what I call the first brush look at what comes out of the equivalent of Al Capone's safe. This is Al Capone's safe in these files.
And hopefully it'll be a little more interesting than Al Capone's safe.
I hope so as well.
Gerald Posner from Posner.com is an investigative journalist and author of Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK. We'll talk to you Thursday, Gerald. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Glenn.
I don't know. It's the death of a president. Maybe read the 100,000 pages in a day. I mean, maybe just get it done. That's my recommendation.
He thanks you for that.
Am I asking too much? I mean, we're talking about a presidential assassination.
Easy for you to say.
Get to work.
Coupons and promotions only go so far when it comes to saving you money. It's not like you'll find a 20% off coupon for the home that you're eyeing to buy. But there are ways to keep your mortgage payments low, and they apply to both new home buyers and those with existing mortgages. Home buyers may want to consider buying a cheaper home or increasing your down payment, and homeowners may want to get rid of private mortgage insurance or refi to a better rate. No matter what your system, your situation is, you can trust the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. They're going to listen to your needs, and they will come up with a customized loan program that allows for the most savings. You could be looking at $500 to $1,000 of extra money in your budget every single month. American Financing, they will help you. It'll give you straightforward and effortless mortgage experiences. So whatever it is that you're looking to do, American Financing is the place to go and the people to talk to. They're also doing reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages, in some cases, are a good way to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment and still retain the ownership of your home. Call their number, 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let me go to Ruth in Minnesota. Hello, Ruth. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ruth?
I'm good. I'm calling about that article, the Redbook one. I actually subscribe to Redbook.
Okay.
I'm actually very disappointed in it because I'm Mexican-American, or I don't know what to call myself anymore because everything seems to be inappropriate. But
just American.
I feel that we are, yeah. Exactly. That's, thank you. I consider that what we are doing, like you said, racial appropriation, I call it racial segregation. I think we are regressing by not allowing our children to learn and experience other cultures because supposedly it's not politically correct.
I think it's interesting. I was watching a show, and I don't know which it was. I was watching a show with my granddaughter and my kids. It was some cartoon thing. And we were talking about it, and much to my granddaughter's chagrin, and again, to my older kids, too, I stopped it halfway through, and I said, guys, have you noticed how the characters are being drawn here? Do you notice what their clothes are? And they rolled their eyes like, Dad, please just shut up. And I said, no, tell me what part of the country this show, I believe, is America Second. Where is this? Where is the base of this from? And I was proud to say after a little while, they said, wait a minute, it kind of looks Arabic. It looks like it's Princess Jasmine. And I said, notice that all of the girls have their whole bodies covered. Their skin is covered to their hands and their feet and their neck. And it was a good conversation that we had with my older kids about, you know, the difference in culture And, you know, why can't we have conversations with that? And why can't my kids go dressed as Princess Jasmine, you know, and knowing that Princess Jasmine would have never dressed this way in Saudi Arabia today because she would have been beheaded? You know, why my kids can't enjoy, you know, Moana and dress as Moana is beyond me. Why? They're not trying to take that culture away and mock it, but that's what the experts say we're doing.
The whole thing's a celebration of the culture. The whole movie is a celebration of the culture. They work for years and years to be very loyal to the mythology behind it. It was a big deal.
And Ruth, your point is exactly right. We are going back, and we're being segregated intentionally. If we can't engage in people's culture, and we can't bring it in and be a part of it, all of us, well, then it is separate. And the only ones that can celebrate it are Polynesians. Well, I don't live around a lot of Polynesians. I used to. I don't now. So there's no one around me that can dress as Moana. That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And why do our kids have to be ashamed as dressing as a white princess because that's a symbol of white privilege? Well, do we get anything? I mean, do we get anything but besides a kick in the teeth and told that we're bad? On tomorrow's program, I want to talk to you about Hillary Clinton's new children's book, because I was at the bookstore this weekend. I was getting books for my granddaughter. And I noticed a trend in children's books, and we need to talk about it. That'll be on tomorrow's program.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
The simple picture captured an idyllic moment in time. Smiling faces of a father and daughter, a family friend, shining in the California sun, right there on the coast of California. Couldn't have been a more idyllic, beautiful day. This happy picture brought sadness to the courtroom because the photograph was taken only moments before Kate Steinle was killed by a bullet in the back. Her father said, with his lower lip trembling uncontrollably, she was having trouble breathing all of a sudden, and I couldn't figure out what was happening. Kate couldn't have known it at the time, but her fate was sealed when she just passed by a homeless man on Pier 14 in San Francisco. The trial is resuming today. The trial of this homeless man accused of shooting Kate. His name is Jose Inez Garcia Zarata, but he's also known as Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez. He's pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder. His lawyers argue that the shooting was just an accident. He fired recklessly into the crowd, single shot. It ricocheted off the pier into Stiley's back. He didn't know what he was even doing, according to the prosecution. He was spinning around in a chair on the pier, and he happened to find this gun, and he just pointed the gun accidentally, and it went off. It really doesn't matter if it was an accident or not. Kate Steinle is dead. The Steinle family will forever mourn the loss of their daughter. And it's all because of Garcia Zarata. Should not have been on Pier 14 on that bright summer day. He shouldn't have been in California. He should have never stolen that Sig Sauer that he claims he found on the pier. He shouldn't have been in our country. If our immigration laws were actually enforced, you wouldn't know Kate Steinle's name, but she'd be alive today. Instead, her name is known as the tragic consequence of our broken immigration system. The trial starts up again today. Our prayers go out to the Steinle family. Our prayers go out to the jurors. Our prayers go out to Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez. And our prayers and our hopes are that justice will be done.
Tuesday, October 24th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, if you're like the average American, you are having problems paying for your health insurance. You are having problems keeping your doctor. You don't know what to do. Nobody in Washington is making any sense. It doesn't seem like anybody is doing anything at all. What do you do? Well, if you're a doctor, there are things that you can do. And I want to introduce you to a guy I read about a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Ryan Neuhoffel. I think, am I saying your name right, Dr. Neuhoffel?
That's correct, Glenn.
Okay. So tell us what you're doing, because you've decided that you've had enough of this, and you're in, if I'm not mistaken, Lawrence, Kansas. Right. And you knew that people weren't being served, and you were no longer really a doctor. You were more of a paper pusher. And so what did you do?
Well, I started a practice about 6 years ago. So I guess you could say I got set up a long time ago, even when I was in medical school. And so I operate in a pretty unique model of practice that's growing around the country called direct primary care. And basically what that is it allows patients to have a direct and simple relationship with me, their primary care doctor. It's organized around a membership fee, much like Netflix or a gym. Mm-hmm. And we're just able to serve people's needs in an innovative way and not be distracted by all of the bullcrap that comes along with the normal system.
So you don't take insurance?
No.
And so how much is the monthly fee?
So on average, my monthly fee for all of my patients combined is about $43 per member per month. So some people pay a little more, some people a little less, families get a discount, and doctors around the country are doing this, and it's not just a few of us rogue people anymore. There's hundreds and maybe close to 1,000 primary care physicians doing this model or something very similar to it.
I will tell you that I have, you know, I still try to purchase the best health insurance that money can buy for my employees and for myself for catastrophic. But this is the system that I use. I have a doctor and I pay him a retainer, I guess, and I can go see him when I want to go see him. And I'm glad that this is starting to come around, because the one thing that is good about this is when you are paying for it yourself, the doctor doesn't just say, oh, go here to get this done. You know, he knows which tests cost the most money where and where you can get them inexpensive, you know, an inexpensive run of that test. Do you provide that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it changes the whole dynamic. If you really look at it, although doctors are very caring people and trying to serve people and provide them great care, ultimately, if you're using insurance, the insurance company or the government, if you're in a program like that, is the real customer. So the patient at that point is kind of a billing vessel of sorts. And whenever you enter into these direct relationships, it changes the way that the doctor thinks about things. It changes the way the patient does, and inherently provides transparency. And so I'm working for my patients now as opposed to a third party.
So how does that explain that to the average person? Because I think the average person knows this. When you hear your doctor say, are you insured? Who's your insurance provider? What they're asking you, and correct me if I'm wrong, what they're asking you is, I know the insurance providers and some of them accept some things, some don't accept others. And so I just need to know how to navigate and how to write. Instead of, you know, now that, you know, you don't have insurance, if you don't have insurance, your doctor says, okay, so here are the options. And it's never just, you know, here's a $3,000 test.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the thing that's most difficult for people is actually the language. So people across the political spectrum use terminology like health insurance and health care, and And they don't even really make a distinction between what those two things mean. So when a lot of you hear a lot of politicians talk, they'll say, you know, we're giving you health care. Well, they're kind of giving you an insurance product that gives you a network of doctors, but that gets all very confusing. So what we're doing is we're stripping away all of that stuff. And much like if someone was purchasing food or something else in their life, you know, I am serving my customers, my patients, and I have to be fully transparent in that. So we're very aware of what stuff costs. Whereas if I was billing an insurance company, it's kind of this backroom stuff, and there's a bunch of complicated contracts. So yeah, it's a totally different way to approach healthcare.
So this is good if you're the run of the mill, you know, I've got the sniffles, I have the cold, I'm even a broken arm, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens to your patients when you can't deal with it and they've got to go to a specialist and it's going to be expensive?
Well, you know, I think one of the big downsides of the system that we have, it is devalued primary care to such a degree that most people don't really recognize that a family physician like myself can take care of a lot of really complicated stuff. So I do take care of a very broad spectrum of stuff. And I think in the normal system, because doctors are so rushed and we don't get to spend time with our patients, we're paid on a volume basis that we often do end up ordering stuff and referring people to specialists when we could have taken care of it ourselves, but you know, we're trying to get to the next patient. So I think that's the first thing to recognize, is that primary care, if it were done correctly and valued high enough, that we could provide more service. But really what you're getting into is there is a point where financially insurance starts to make sense. What I think we're challenging is that doing most people's healthcare across the spectrum of care through a third party doesn't make a lot of sense. So yeah, there is a point where insurance makes sense, but is that at $100? Is that $1,000? Is that at $10,000? It kind of depends on the person.
Talking to Dr. Ryan Neuhoffel. Doctor, you have this, this is a great idea. And I think everyone looks at this and says, wow, this would be a perfect way to knock out 90% of the stuff that could happen to me as far as healthcare goes. It seems to me though, the current system really would discourage this. In that they, you know, you're going to get fined if you don't have insurance and you decide to go this way. I mean, how are you dealing with that? And is this a problem with a lot of the patients that you have?
Yeah, I'm not advocating people not have insurance. In fact, I do the opposite. I think insurance makes sense for certain things. A great analogy, if we tried to use car insurance to cover everything related to our car, if we tried to
oil
use
changes
to pay for our gas, oil changes, tire rotations, you know, shampooing our carpets in our car, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Now, if our car gets totaled and it costs $20,000 to replace, that trade-off of insurance makes sense. And the same thing with homeowners insurance. So yeah, there needs to be a safety net, an insurance policy of some type, whether that's, you know, government-based or private-based, to where that makes sense. So right now in the current system, because of all of the mandates, they're basically, you know, the ACA and many things before it are forcing people to pay a third party, a financial institution, which we call an insurance company, to kind of manage all of their money for them. And I think that clearly that's led to many of the ills in our current healthcare system.
Because it's more than just not having insurance at all. It's also the restrictions they put on higher deductible plans. There are so many things that must be covered by these insurance policies. I mean, if you could combine what you're doing, a monthly fee, you can go when you need to go, with a high deductible plan for only the worst catastrophic stuff, that is a great formula for a family, but it's really discouraged right now.
Well, yeah, you can get, in fact, I mean, I'm sure your audience will tell you this, is that they have been forced into a high deductible. And so a lot of the patients we're serving, you know, who end up getting a bronze plan or their employer switches them to a plan with a high deductible, they really start seeing the value and transparency and upfront prices and you know, not overpaying for things. So yes, in a sense, I think we should move to kind of a more true catastrophic system. And I think that could be done in a lot of ways. But, you know, our entire healthcare system is built upon kind of an understanding of what healthcare was looking like in 1930 through 1970.
Sure.
And, you know, healthcare is a much more integral part of our lives now. People have chronic diseases they live their entire lives with. And in 1960, whenever we, you know, developed Medicare and Medicaid and even going back further, you know, healthcare really couldn't do a whole lot. It could kind of, you know, do surgery to save you. But I think healthcare right now looks so much different. We're trying to kind of fit, you know, fit a round peg in a square hole at this point.
So newcare.net, newcare.net is the address if you'd like to find out more. How does somebody find somebody in their local area like you? What do you even look for?
Yeah, actually, there's a really great resource now online. The best one that I direct people to is called dpcfrontier.com, and there's a mapper on that website. So if you click /mapper, there's about 1,000 doctors around the country, 600-800 practices who are operating at a very similar model to mine. They all have their own kind of flavor of it. But if you're looking for a doctor in your area, that's by far the best resource to look for. Or you can Google, if you Google direct primary care in your city, you'll probably stumble upon somebody.
Great. Dr. Ryan Neuhoffel, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Good work.
Thanks,
Glenn. God bless.
So Dr. Ryan Neuhoffel is at NewCare, N-E-U-C-A-R-E, on Twitter, and newcare.net is his website. But yeah, DPC Frontier is a cool site. I've never been to this before. Direct Primary Care, DPC Frontier, and they have a map of all of the, you know, doctors that do this type of thing, and there's a lot of them. Worth checking out.
I have to tell you, it's a different kind of healthcare.
You do this?
I do.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the doctor is allowed to spend more time with you. The doctor gets to know you better because he's not, like he said, he's not rushing through things. He doesn't have all the paperwork to do. He doesn't have to worry about any of that. So we'll get a call from our doctor. We'll call him up and, you know, say, hey, this is going on with the family, blah, blah, blah. And then he'll call, he'll treat. And then, he'll call like, 8 o'clock on a, on a Friday night and go, hey, I'm just thinking about, Rafe, how's he feeling? What's going on? And so it's like that old style medicine.
You don't have to hang out with him, do you? You don't have to like go to his Christmas parties or anything like that.
No, you don't have to. No, okay. you don't have
to. I want
to
make sure. I don't need any more relationships. I've got enough.
Yeah, I do know that. Okay. I do know that. But it's nice to be able to have a doctor who has the time to actually get to know the family. Sooner or later, your car is going to break down. And here's CarShield. This is exactly what we were talking about. I mean, you're not going to get your oil change or your gas. But what happens under the manufacturer warranty and the repairs covered, if it happens after the warranty expires, you are screwed. That's why I recommend extended coverage from carshield.com. New engine, transmission, cost you $5,000. A sensor. I had a sensor go out. I've just bought a truck and a sensor went out. I couldn't even believe it took 2 days to get it. And I couldn't believe how much it cost. Luckily it was under warranty. Skip the hassle. CarShield makes the whole process easy. If you select your favorite mechanic or you can go to the dealership to get the work done, there's no checks in the mail. You're not waiting for a reimbursement. They get the mechanic paid directly. CarShield's administrators even give you the VIP treatment. They have 24/7 roadside assistance, rental cars while yours is in the shop, so you're never left stranded or in the cold. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean you have to pay the high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands in potential car repairs. Go to 800-CAR-6100. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention the promo code Beck, or go to carshield.com and use the promo code Beck and save 10%. That's carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductibles may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So I have officially decided, because I have I've had enough of this cultural appropriation nonsense, and we've been talking about this article in Redbook today that we're supposed to feel bad if our children want to dress as a Disney princess that happens to be white, because then it's white privilege. But you should also feel bad if they want to go as Moana, because that's cultural appropriation. So if you have kids that are white, just stay home. Haven't you done enough already?
Well, your first mistake is having a kid if you're white. Stop it.
Exactly right.
We've got enough white people. Okay. Look at what they're doing. Thank you.
So I've decided that I'm going to go not as Moana. I'm going to go as Moana's grandmother. And I think Stu should go as my attorney.
You'll need an attorney if you dress as Moana's grandmother.
I think I make one sexy Moana's grandmother.
Yeah, I could see that actually.
Yeah,
And she's a bit curmudgeonly, I would say, in the film.
I can do that.
Really? You can?
I can.
Wow. So you're not actually appropriating culture if you dress as a curmudgeon.
No, she is appropriating mine.
That's right. See, we've turned this around.
Yeah. So
you're really going to go as Moana's grandmother? I think you'd.
Yeah.
I think
you look very nice. And I think I have the same shape that she had possibly in the cartoon. The only thing is sadly, she may be in better shape than I am. So
I wasn't going to say it, but, you know, and I think she's dead. So
did she die? Yeah, she did die, didn't she?
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Moana yet. Moana's grandmother's dead.
Wow.
But still in better shape than you.
Even dead.
A dead cartoon.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's time to hit the gym.
Yeah. So I don't remember what she was wearing. What was she?
I got to look it up here.
Google search images of Moana's grandmother.
Moana's grandma. Okay.
What a world we live in.
It really is freaking amazing.
It is amazing.
I was, because there's a crab in that, Tamatoa, the crab.
Yeah. Are you going to be the crab?
I was thinking about the crab because my son and my daughter both love Shiny, the song from the Moana soundtrack. Yeah. And I was like, that would be a fun thing to dress up as. And I'm like, I bet I can Google how to make a Tamatoa costume.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Oh, there's like 1,000 sites that tell you how to do it. It's like the 19th most popular character in that movie.
I have to tell you, it's crazy the stuff that you can just Google and either buy or they show you how to make. I mean, it's like we lived in caveman times.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, I think this internet thing is going to stick around.
I
don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it's 50-50 still, but I think it might last for a while. So I would say Grandma Tala is who you're talking about.
Grandma Tala. That's who I'm going as. Yeah. Grandma Tala.
I would say she appears to be wearing like it's a dress. It looks kind of like a rug that you would... Is that offensive to say that it looks like a rug? It looks to me like a rug. And then there's
that is offensive.
And it's wrapped with another, maybe.
Okay, so that's going to be, it'll be a little chilly on my chest.
There's
and
frills,
arms,
just like a rug at the bottom.
I think that's how I'm going. I think that's my Halloween costume right there. Take that red
Glenn
rug.
Back. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, I've decided to go as Moana's grandmother because it's wrong to let your kids dress up as Moana. So, I'm going to go as Moana's grandmother, which is really three strikes, you're out. She's got a cane, so she's kind of handicapped. I'm going to appropriate that. And then she's a woman, so I'm going to appropriate that, and then she's Polynesian, so the appropriation is complete.
Wow.
Three strikes, you're out on that one. So
can you be put in jail for that much appropriation? I think you can.
Well, I can get out of it because of my white privilege.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's right. I almost forgot about white privilege.
I
forget about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Sometimes
it just doesn't feel that privileging, does it?
No, it almost feels like at this point in our history, it's not even real.
No,
it's, right. I know it's crazy to say that. That's not true. I want
to
make sure everyone knows.
It's racist to say that.
Yes, it's total. Yes. But every once in a while, I think to myself, it feels like there's no white privilege at all.
Can I tell you something?
I
went over to Italy. I lived in Italy for about a month. Years ago, and they don't see their Italian privilege at all.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
If you speak Italian, your heritage is Italian, you're from Italy, your family is from Italy, you can get jobs, you can get around. They didn't even notice how difficult it was for me to get around, for me to communicate, for me to get a job, because they were all just relishing in their Italian privilege. It was obscene.
Wow.
Germany was the same.
Wow.
Germany was exactly the same. Yeah.
You know,
shocking.
The white one privilege of being white is you you're in Italy, mm-hmm. is you speak Italian. And that actually does give you an advantage in the Italian culture.
No, but I don't want to speak Italian. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. Who am I to co-opt and appropriate their culture? I'm not Italian.
But I mean, it helps you communicate, and then you could get a job, and you can make more money.
No.
You can't ask. You can't ask an American to speak Italian, not in Italy.
Well, but they're going to Italy, so.
Yeah, but we're American.
It's up to the Italians to learn English.
Well, it's like I met this African American British guy. What?
Nothing. Okay. I'm waiting for the rest of the story.
Yeah, so I met this African American British guy, and he was trying to say to me, "I'm not African American." And I'm like, "Look at yourself.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Don't be in denial.
Yeah.
Don't embrace your African Americanness." And he's like, "I'm British." And I said, "I understand that. You're a British African American." And he said, "No, I'm actually my roots are from the Caribbean." And I said, "It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You're mm-hmm. black. You're a British African American. Period."
And did he finally understand? I hope.
No, he didn't.
Wow,
he didn't. But that was just his because he grew up in white privilege of England.
Of England. Okay.
Even though he was
British,
but he had obviously become an Uncle Tom. Over in Great Britain. So
obviously.
he was in on it.
So this is exactly what you came in to talk
it's
about.
Exactly
today, right?
It, yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand.
Well, it does lead me to what I'm here to complain about. And one of those things.
Wait, when did this segment become?
you're just going to complain about this.
Just like the complaints department?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
All right.
I want Frederica Wilson to stop wearing cowboy hats.
That is...
I am from a cowboy state,
Montana. Can I tell you something?
I live in a cowboy state. I have worn cowboy hats. I want her to stop appropriating my culture.
Amen.
I'm offended. I'm appalled. I'm looking for a safe space right now.
When have you ever worn a cowboy hat? I've known you for...
sometimes.
Never.
Okay, never.
It's my culture, though, and even if you're a black person and you've never worn dreadlocks, that's your culture, right? So I claim cowboy hats as my culture, and I want her to stop. She's from Florida. She's African American. She can't wear cowboy hats.
Wait, she's from Florida?
Yeah. She's a representative from Florida.
Why is she wearing cowboy hats?
I thought she was from Texas.
No.
I just assumed she was from Texas.
That's what I'm saying.
You are right.
Right?
You are right. You live in Florida. You have no right to a cowboy hat.
None whatsoever.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Why? Also, wait, do we know why she wears... Because I thought the same thing.
Unless
she must be from Texas.
I really thought she was from Texas.
So did I until I looked it up.
And I will say this, and I think I could speak for the group here. None of us had ever heard of her before last week.
No, that's true.
Never heard of her.
None of us had. She had made no impact. We talk about congressmen and congresswomen every single
and
day.
And we talk about idiot congress people all the time. And she is at the top. She's below.
Man.
Now, I don't know if it's one slot or five slots below, but the guy who said, you know, that Guam would flip
Hank
over.
Wilson.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you put too many Marines on one side of Guam, it will just capsize.
And by the way, that's never been tested, but let's just move on and act like it's a ridiculous
right.
thing to say.
Right. Okay.
White I love privilege. This is the viewpoint of the day, I believe.
I think it is.
Because
I want it to stop.
All of America can
wait
be
a minute.
On this.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So instead of Moana's grandmother, maybe I'll go as Frederica Wilson. Because that I can wear.
You can't. You know what? I don't think you can. Oddly, I think you'd still get in trouble for dressing like a Texan, even though she's from Florida.
Really?
I think so, right?
I think so, yeah.
If we get you a ruby, because she wears like kind of like the glittery, sequined sort of hats, right? Like she's doing it with a little flair. She's doing a cowboy with a little flair. I think you could pull that look off, but you definitely shouldn't.
But you're right, Pat.
She's appropriating my culture.
She is.
She is.
She is.
Is there an explanation
where is she
that
from?
Exists?
Where is she from that she's wearing cowboy hats?
Well, I mean, where originally?
I know she lives in Florida now, but nobody actually is from Florida.
So there have been a few people actually born in Florida.
No, it was like the Aztecs, and then they all disappeared, and then people started moving from New York.
So the number three search result when you search for Frederica Wilson is Frederica Wilson hats.
It's what she's known for. It seriously is. And I,
and you know what? She looks, she's not only appropriating the cowboy and Texas, she's also appropriating that really hideous Republican Party convention look.
Yeah, she is.
Right?
Yeah, she
That's
is.
The way those old ladies dress yes. at the Republican convention. And you're like, okay.
That are from Texas. So
like, right. You're like, turn it down. Turn it down.
All right. Are you seeing the state she was born in? I'm just seeing...
Wilson is known for her large and colorful hats, of which she owns several hundred.
Wow.
Several hundred? They're going to tell us about income inequality? She's got several hundred hats? Several hundred?
Are they all cowboy hats?
It does seem like they're all cowboy hats.
She was born in Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida.
Well, that wrecks my theory that nobody's actually from Florida.
It does.
Because there's now one.
Now there's now one.
And it disallows her from appropriating the cowboy culture.
You can't be. You cannot have a cowboy hat and be from Florida. You can't.
No.
I'm sorry for anybody who happens to be driving a truck in Florida.
Sorry, no.
But no, if you're from Florida, if you're from someplace else.
You can wear a baseball cap.
Yes.
Right? You could wear a fedora. You know,
maybe.
Some people can pull that off.
Yeah. You could wear a flamingo hat.
Yes.
Don't even know what those are, but you could wear that.
You could.
You could wear a swimmer's cap. Mickey Mouse ears. You cannot wear
a beret, but you can't wear a cowboy hat. Not when you're in Florida. Not when you're from Florida.
I would have to disagree with you with the beret.
You can't wear a beret?
No.
You're appropriating French culture then.
Yeah, you could maybe, with the right paperwork, if you're in New Orleans or Louisiana. Then you
what kind of paperwork would you need for that?
That you show just you're some sort of
French. Papers to show, okay.
Yeah, so some, there's
Cajun,
some.
Cajun at least.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you, but okay. Not all courts will.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
She has gone on through efforts to get Congress to lift its ban on head coverings during House sessions, which dates. And you say these Congress people don't do anything. You know, this goes back to 1837. I mean, it's only been 170 years. She's going to get this done. At some point, you're going to be able to wear a head covering.
The founders didn't have a problem with head coverings.
Yeah.
They did not.
It's in the Constitution in the Good and Plenty Clause, I believe.
I think it is.
So when did she get to Congress?
2010.
She's been there this flamboyant
7 years.
For 7 years.
Yeah, we only heard of her last week.
Wow, she's done nothing.
Well, the only thing that she seems to really have made any news over this time, as I'm looking through her profile here, is that she was outspoken on the Trayvon Martin case, in which she said that George Zimmerman hunted Trayvon Martin based simply on his race. It is not how I remember that story at all.
No.
Interestingly, that doesn't seem the thing that occurred there.
He was out hunting
wabbits.
African-Americans.
Yes. And any African-American would do.
You wabbit, okay. Wabbit, wabbit.
That is a... By the way, you can get Frederica Wilson's hats online. You know there's a site that helps you.
How much are those hats?
They can't be cheap. They're very nice hats. They're very colorful, Glenn. I just hope that, I'm a little concerned because several hundred hats, that's a lot of hats, man. That is a lot of freaking hats.
When some people in America don't even have a hat.
Exactly. Income inequality. What happened there? By the way, she's running in a very tight district. She won this last election 78 to 21. Her closest were... Her closest race, because last time she had won 86 to 10.
Mm. She's fading in popularity.
It's the hats. Many hats. People are anti-hat.
No, they were like, she's going to be the one that gets the head coverings, passed in Congress.
Right.
And she failed to get that done.
They're like, we've waited 170 years to walk in here with a baseball hat, and now we can't do it.
October 1st, the Business Insider, Jim Rogers, said, when it comes to gold and fear, the sector to be bullish on, gold. Everyone should have coins, physical coins, as an insurance policy, as an emergency, if nothing else. This is so important because people look at gold as an investment, and you can. But I've said this for years. I don't look at it as an investment. I look at it exactly the way Jim Rogers does. Now, Jim is a guy who used to work with, what's his name, George Soros, and knows how George Soros works. It's why he got away from George Soros, has seen what George Soros has done. He is the first to tell you this is coming apart, and he knows the players involved. This is why he's saying, please, look what the world always does. It always resets to gold. Now, we can say that, you know, oh, no, this time is different. It's never different. It's never, ever different. Please consider having something in an insurance policy, physical gold. The only place I go to is Goldline. Call and hear about their price guarantee specials this month. You can call them at 866-GOLDLINE. They are waiting for your call right now, 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-465-3546. Read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. But look at this as insurance. 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. And back.
Dimitri is on the phone from Florida. Hello, Dimitri.
How are we doing? One first things first, I love you guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, believe it or not, early 1800s, we had a group of settlers in Florida called the Crackers. They were the original cowboys. Unfortunately, she's not one of them. She's just a rodeo clown.
Right. So you're saying she's not a cracker.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Is she appropriating cracker culture?
I would think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Look
wow.
at this.
Now, Dimitri, you're not a cowboy.
That is correct also.
Right. You don't have a cowboy hat because your name is Dimitri.
No, actually, I do have a cowboy hat, but that's not why. I'm actually Greek.
No. Oh, I think everyone in the audience is like,
okay.
He's a Greek cowboy.
Put some Windex on it. I saw that. Okay, so Dimitri, I believe, though, is a Russian name. So you've appropriated the Russian culture for your name, or your parents did. How do you live with that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Because, believe it or not, I actually have proof that it's a Greek name.
No.
No, what do you mean?
He said he has
proof.
Yeah, no. No, he's a guy on the phone. Who are you going to believe? The guy on the radio who has his own talk show, or this guy from Florida?
This is why I love you guys.
Right.
And by the way, definitely this guy from Florida is who I'm believing.
Dimitri, thanks for calling, man. Let's go to Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm calling from Central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
My daughter's costume option was she wants to be Pennywise from It, okay? She's been Elsa. She's been Alice in Wonderland. She's been Kim Possible, if you remember her, very strong female. But she's also Clara in The Nutcracker this year. So as I was telling your call screener, what kind of privilege is that?
That's a lot of privilege. And now she wants to be Pennywise.
Yes.
I don't know. You may need some psychotic medication going from Clara to Pennywise. Let me go quickly to Becky. I've only got less than a minute, Becky. Go ahead.
Hey, Glenn. I was just calling to make a comment. There's a little bit of the Red Book article that I agree with. And that's when they said, as a parent, if we let our kids wear these costumes, then ultimately we're wearing the costumes. Well, and I agree with it a little bit. But what I think is, if as a parent, I allow my kids to believe that if they wear a Moana costume, they are somehow racist, or if they are wearing an Elsa costume, they're showing their white privilege, aren't I also kind of an idiot?
And so, yes.
To be an idiot as well.
Yes, I think.
That works.
I think that works, yes.
Oh, she brought Becky, her out.
Yes, Becky, I love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock, when we take a monologue of Rachel Maddow's apart, old blackboard school style.
Glenn Beck.